Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, where we've got some nasty technical issues today. So with any luck at all, I'm not going to get disconnected throughout the show. It took a long time to even get in here today. Anyway,
I was envisioning thunderstorms overhead.
Well, there are thunderstorms a couple miles away, but it's about 5 miles away, and it took me over a dozen tries to get in here and actually stay connected. Frustrating, because I've been so looking forward to today's show for like 2 or 3 months now.
Same here.
Well, we
Hi,
have
Gina.
Got a great show lined up for everybody today. We have my friend and co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. And we have got a great guest lined up for you guys today that I will let Linda do the honors introducing.
Oh, I have been so waiting with anticipation to have Sarah with us today. So Sarah Hill is a 12-time Emmy winner, and that means way before Google and Google Plus. She was a powerful communicator in media, and what she's been able to do is transform how she connects with people, taking what she knows from media and creating what she refers to as this movement of human media. And we're going so deep today to talk with her about that and how to create relationships with people and so on. So, Sarah, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so very much. I'm looking out my window where it's sunny here in Columbia, Missouri. So sorry to hear about the story. I'm glad we were finally able to connect, and I just wish I could see your guys' faces.
I know.
But happy to talk with you here on Blog Talk Radio.
So I love it. So one of the things that I didn't share with Gina was that when you confirmed with me originally, you said, great, and what's the Hangout link? And I started laughing because you live your world in face-to-face connection with people, and here is still a medium where we're without faces other than still photos of each other. So it was that reminder of all these different pathways that people are using nowadays for connecting, communicating, and creating relationships. So welcome
just
to the
great way
without
all,
the camera.
All platforms. Oh, absolutely. Well,
and I have seen a few
you.
Of your Hangouts, Sarah. What a different experience when you can really see people face-to-face like that. It's just awesome.
It is awesome. You can see their body language, and it's like really you transport them on a magic carpet physically into the room with you, and not just one-on-one connection, but the ability to have a group conversation. And you know, what we're finding with this new platform, essentially it is a magic carpet that takes you around the block or around the world in a matter of seconds. And obviously talking with people via the phone or via text messages or email or any other kind of text-based communication is great, but this is a new layer that we're excited to be able to use it, not just for veterans, but for charities, for journalists, for newsies, anybody out there who disseminates information. It's a really exciting time to be in the human media space.
So, Sarah, to give listeners a little bit of background, you started in traditional media, which meant you were on one side of a camera speaking to the lens or the cameraman. Give folks a little bit of background about your career and how you built it.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a journalist by trade. I study at the University of Missouri Journalism School, and I worked at the NBC affiliate in Columbia, Missouri for many years. I still do freelance for them part-time on a basis with some veteran stories that we do, but essentially I spend a lot of time in front of a camera in a chair reading a teleprompter, and we always had a text-based social channel during our newscast. So during our 5 o'clock newscast, for instance, I would always be having a live Twitter chat or Facebook chat or chatting with people, chatting with their avatars online. But what I found out with Google Plus and Google Plus Hangouts was you have the ability as a broadcaster to have a face-to-face relationship with your viewer. So no longer is that viewer in some living room far off, you know, a way that you can only imagine how they're reacting to their story via a Hangout, which is a 10-person group video chat room. You have the ability to bring them on the news set there right with you and have a real-time conversation with them during the sound bites and the commercials. And I set up a laptop behind the scenes of the news desk and decided to try Hangouts. I thought, well, this text-based social channel is pretty great to engage with viewers. Might we be able to develop a closer relationship if we could actually see their faces and they could see ours in real time? And the world flooded in. And by the world, I mean I was doing a newscast and hearing a rooster crow in Trinidad, Tobago.
I love it.
People from Australia, people from Germany, far beyond the boundaries of our mid-Missouri geographic viewing area, came in simply for the fact that there was a newscaster who would talk about the day's news, and it was a conversation. It was like you had 9 other producers in that hangout with you who could fact-check how you pronounce names in Germany or pull up something on a map and provide information. We essentially evolved to use Hangouts as a free satellite truck, a free broadcast tower.
Oh my goodness, that amazing.
Yeah, you can live stream via Hangouts via a function called Hangouts on Air. So you open the Hangout, and then that Hangout also streams live on YouTube for anyone to watch. So during breaking news events, during tornado coverage, we were able to open up a Hangout on Air in a southwestern Missouri area, and provide a reporter was able to join and provide information from that. Citizen journalists are using it to provide information. We use it here at the Veterans United Network to show veterans and military families and do shows, celebrity interviews, and we're also doing it now as part of a virtual tour program to physically take veterans to see their memorials when they're too ill to travel.
Wow.
We're losing our World War II veterans at a rate of 800 a day nationwide, and unfortunately a lot of these men and women are too sick to travel. So we are taking them on virtual tours, and we have videographers via partnership with Virtual Photo Walks with streaming rigs in Washington, D.C., even in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. We once took a D-Day veteran virtually to see the beaches of Normandy. And he was able to see and hear the waves on the beaches of Normandy in Normandy, France, via a Hangout. So that's that kind of closer relationship that you have the ability, something you would never be able to provide on a text-based social network or chatting with someone's avatar. You cannot accurately describe what the beaches of Normandy, France, look like via a social media post.
And
but via human media, you can take them there.
As you're describing that, I have to tell you I'm actually tearing up, because in a traditional newscast, you might have the reporter on site, or you might flash an image on screen of the beaches of Normandy, but the energy around both of those is very different. You know, having a newscaster saying, and I'm standing here on the beaches, is still in performance, instead of what you're describing, which is the real and the personal way of connecting someone with another location.
Yes. And the group conversation that then happens around it. I mean, in broadcasting, traditionally, it's been broadcasters talking at people, right?
Right.
Broadcasters talking at people. this enables the people, the viewers, to talk back and to have a real-time dialogue in what they're seeing. In the future, you aren't going to see a reporter out there with a big broadcast truck with a big metal stick in the air broadcasting live from the scene. What you're going to be seeing, and especially with, you know, the future of wearable computing now, and I don't know if you've been watching what's happening with Google Glass, but glasses that allow you to broadcast, essentially, is you will see a reporter out there on the scene of a fire, maybe in a hangout or some kind of group conversation, and then inviting other viewers in, either from different perspectives, to share what they are seeing in real time. Live reports for journalists are now evolving into a group conversation where it's not just the journalist who's talking.
So you're not the only journalist doing this?
No. There are other journalists who also use Hangouts and Hangouts on Air. Michelle Lee, Amy Wood, Melissa Carlson, Maria Quaban uses it in L.A. as more as a back channel. Not all of them are putting Hangouts on Air or use them as much as we do, but they are experimenting with the different ways that you can bring your viewers into a face-to-face relationship with you. And really, it's the science behind it. And some smart entity out there is going to study this, but there was a study in Israel that showed that online hostilities are greatly decreased when you have face-to-face communication, okay? So why wouldn't a business want to communicate with its customers face-to-face? There's science behind it that shows that the engagement levels are deeper, the hostilities wear away, all the layers of miscommunication peel away when you're dealing with individuals face-to-face. So the more a television station or a journalist or a business can deal with their customers or their future customers face-to-face, the better off they're going to be, because it's like you know that person.
Oh, that's such an interesting aspect of this. And speaking as someone who's coming out of traditional broadcast, it's a very different approach to trust what someone else might say live when they're in conversation with you, rather than being in control.
Right, absolutely, and that's how, you know, news organizations, and we here, even at the Veterans United Network, we make sure that's an ongoing conversation that we have, and here's how we do it. We host lots of hangouts where we meet individuals who we know will be respectful in our hangout and who know the rules, who know that if you say a four-letter word, for instance, you know, on a TV station, that you can get a fine from the FCC. So all of these individuals who join our hangouts, we know them. They've been in our hangouts before. They know how to operate their microphones and those kind of things. And they also know the etiquette that genre of general rules, so that you feel comfortable with bringing them on the air. It's just like a call-in show, you know, essentially, except the call-in show is face-to-face instead of just via the phone.
Well,
very
this
cool.
Weekend, just as a fluke, I happened to go and see the new movie, The Interns, which is all about these two older guys who get jobs as interns for the summer at Google. And even the interview for their internship was done in a hangout. Well, I came home from the movie. My husband's going, wow, that was so cool. What's that thing they kept doing on their computers? That was really neat. And I'm trying to describe to him that this is this hangout thing I've been talking about for a couple of months. We come home, we rent a movie from Redbox, and it's a brand new movie, just came out last week, called 100 Degrees Below Zero. And it's about this global catastrophe. There's a volcano that erupts in Iceland that triggers a whole series of volcanoes and earthquakes all throughout Europe, and Europe becomes uninhabitable. But all of the generals from NATO that are communicating with how to evacuate Europe are all in hangouts. And my husband's going, oh, my goodness, they can use it for that, too? He'd never experienced what a hangout was like until these two movies on the same day both start using hangouts. And I imagine
Absolutely.
That people, as a rule, are going to start to see movies like that using hangouts in the movies And it's going to very quickly change how people perceive the quote-unquote news.
Yeah, Hangouts and Hangouts in general have been around for only about 2 years. So think about that. That's how long we've been using them for about a couple years. And people are just now, starting to realize, oh, you mean you can make free video calls with, people from around the world and bring in up to 10 people? Well, that's pretty neat. But the beauty of Hangouts and human media isn't just that face-to-face interaction. It's the unique pairing of a video chat component with the crowdsourcing ability of a social network. So Hangouts are attached to Google Plus and the Google Plus network. So it's not just the ability to chat with people face-to-face. It's the ability to find people face-to-face who are interested in your business, who have experienced perhaps a live news event. For instance, in the aftermath of the Nori bombing, we here in central Missouri were able to crowdsource, were able to find an individual on Google Plus who had just experienced the Norway bombing and bring them into a face-to-face conversation about what they had just experienced. So think about that and how that blows away all geographic boundaries and how traditional journalists used to have to, pay for satellite time or send a physical camera to get a soundbite from this individual who had just experienced a live news event. But that unique pairing of the ability to find individuals to hang out with is what makes is the lifeblood of human media. It's not just Skype. You don't have the ability to find someone on Skype who's just experienced something, or you don't have the ability to, search through their posts and see, if they like, a certain breed of dog or something like that. But you do on the social network of Google Plus, and that's why it makes it unique, because you can have a group conversation and you can find individuals to invite to your broadcasts, find individuals who are interested in the things that you are and bring them into a face-to-face conversation.
It's amazing.
Wow.
The strategic opportunities for broadening our connectedness, for those of us who are building businesses, working with entrepreneurs and so on, all these different ways of creating connectedness through this medium. Really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And cross-pollinating it on all platforms. Obviously, Veterans United Network uses Google Plus a lot, but we also use all of the other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and we cross-pollinate our broadcasts then on all of the other social platforms. What it is essentially a free broadcast tower for anyone in the world who has the ability to broadcast. I wrote an article not too recently about turning bloggers into blogcasters.
Oh, I love it.
And really, that's what it is. Anyone has a broadcast stick right now. You don't need a big metal stick with some fancy call letters. Anyone has the ability to broadcast.
It's very interesting as I'm thinking through the implications of this, and you were talking about the research that's been done. I'm going to be fascinated in the next year or so to see what happens with that concept of 15 minutes of fame, that everybody alive really wants their 15 minutes of fame. If technology is now enabling anyone at any time to be seen, be heard, and connect, is the conversation going to shift?
Mm-hmm. I think it has shifted.
Yeah.
Just look at how people are getting their information. No longer are they solely relying on the mainstream news media outlets for their information. They're relying on their friends, on their social network, right, to share information. So, as far as will that change the conversation, I think it's already shifted the conversation as a in the realm of where are we as news consumers getting our information.
Right, and I can live in profound hope that the question, so how did you feel when, evaporates and stops being asked of people.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Get back to
and
real
it's not,
conversations with people.
Yeah, anymore it's not how did you feel, it's this is how I felt. Because
exactly.
I have my own broadcast stick and I have my own ability with which to share what just happened to me.
Yeah. there are folks, I had an opportunity this weekend. I was at a nonprofit fundraising event, and I was sharing with a woman there who's in her late 40s some of what I'm working with in my business when I'm working with folks in the Breakthrough Academy and so on, and was talking with her about doing things through webinars and teleseminars and so on, and she looked at me with her eyes really wide open and said, oh, that must be so much fun. I've never been on a webinar. I've never been on a teleseminar. What's that like? And I thought, and even more so, technology continues leaping ahead. So here we have Hangouts, and if I were to explain to her a Hangout, she'd be equally as wide-eyed about it. So those of us who are immersed in this are this community that is constantly looking for how do we use these amazing tools, and how do we bring other people along with us that aren't familiar with this?
Mm-hmm. And the way I describe it, because sometimes when you describe a Hangout, people gloss over and they think it's, you know, too technically challenged for them to be able to enter it. But all it is learning how to dial a new kind of video phone, right? Everyone knows how to send a text message or place a phone call. All this is a video phone, and you dial it. But instead of going to a phone and picking up a receiver, you go to your computer and you punch in your friend's email address or your friend's Google Plus profile, and you click the invite button. It takes a quick few seconds for a plugin to install the very first time, and then you are set. I would encourage anyone out there who's interested in this space, either be a broadcaster or a news consumer or someone interested in veterans issues, I would encourage them to learn how to dial the video phone. Get a Google Plus account, learn how to hang out, and don't just host Hangouts yourself, but join some, because really you have the ability to go from Hangout to Hangout, which is like being on a magic carpet. There might be a Hangout live from a space station somewhere in Florida, and they are talking about a space program or something like that. You have the ability to be there, and then that next hangout might be a live music concert from New York. So the ability for someone to transport themselves around the world virtually in the future will really be interesting to see how people pioneer in this new space of human media.
Right, and folks who are new to this, just so, for their understanding, when you join a Hangout, it doesn't necessarily mean you're on screen. You can have many more people on the, quote, Hangout, participating, watching, joining in, than are those 10 people who are brought on who are sharing directly in the conversation.
Correct. There are two types of Hangouts. There are private Hangouts, which are private just to those 10 individuals, or if you just want to have a one-on-one video call, you can do that too. That's a private Hangout. Then there is what's called Hangouts on Air, and Hangouts on the Air have the ability for 10 people to join that Hangout and be in that video call, but then that video call also streams live on your YouTube channel, and after you click in broadcast on that Hangouts on Air, it automatically records to your YouTube channel for you to share later on a social network or even edit with the free YouTube editor as well. So those are two different kinds. So just because you're in a Hangout does not mean that you are on the air in any way. It has to be a broadcast button that's then streamed live in YouTube, because those are two different kinds of video calls.
I love it. You know, for many years I have followed on the webcam system, which some people are familiar with, where around the world there are permanent web cameras set up that are streaming all the time. So Pete's Pond in Africa is one where I will pop in to watch what's happening with the animals. And with this on-air hangout, you can decide there's a topic you want to follow and there's someone who does a regular hangout, and you can go join that on-air hangout and join in listening to the conversation that they're conducting as it's streaming and so on. And so you can find all these different topics that you're interested in or people that you want to follow, and what an amazing, engaging day you can create.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it also puts a face on your website. So you mentioned the pond there, and the ability for that to go to that website and see what's going on live in real time. There are some puppy breeders in the military world who breed dogs to be future helpers for veterans who've lost limbs, and they also have a puppy cam as well, and people have the ability to watch it live in real time. What this does is put a face on your website. So imagine in the future how this might transform customer service from a text-based engagement where you are shopping on someone's online site via still photos to a live, living, breathing human media experience where you are talking live in real time with a store clerk who answers you just as you would come in a physical front door to a business. You would, that virtual store clerk would answer an online store saying, "How may I help you? Let me help you find what you're trying to navigate through the site." I mean, it has the total ability to transform business and put a human face on online shops that formerly might have been seen or might have been at a disadvantage for not being a physical bricks and mortar entity.
Right, and because we're using computer technology, what the Hangout enables us to do is have either a person's face or that person can switch back and forth. You can switch back and forth between showing your face or showing your computer screen or holding up an object that you're demonstrating to someone on the other end, so you can work in all of those different fashions. Besides, okay, I have to confess, if I'm doing Hangouts, I have to switch back to wearing public clothing and putting makeup on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes and no, however. Something that I've been experimenting with has been Google Glass. So a couple weeks ago, I got this hands-free device. It's a pair of glasses, essentially, that's attached to a computer. So what I've been doing a lot lately has been hands-free Hangouts. And those have been actually liberating, as no one sees your face. They only see what you're seeing right forward because they're there for a pair of glasses. So, you know, imagine a store clerk who was wearing that. I mean, no one would have to see the store clerk's face. They would just answer the Hangout on the site and say, are you interested in these pairs of shoes? Let me go back to my back room and let me show you these. Are these the kind that you like? Do you like these? You know, hold them up. A still picture only does justice a little bit. Sometimes you really want the ability, you know, to see a three-dimensional view and ask questions about it in real time. So imagine store clerks equipped with hands-free devices on their face and how that might transform the experience as well. But, yes, if you are doing a Hangout from your computer via webcam, obviously, yeah, and you want to be a good representative for your entity.
And let me just add that in our show notes, you'll see a link to Sarah Hill on Blogspot at sarahhillstories.blogspot.com. And the June 2nd article is an article all about Sarah's exploration of glass and her Hangouts on air with glass. Wow, Linda, if you haven't seen that article, you really have to check it out. It is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks for that. It's been great to experiment in the space and see not only how we can use it to gather veteran stories, but how we can use it to transport these veterans to a place that they would like to see but aren't physically able.
Right, and I'd love to go even more deeper and detailed about your work with Veterans United. And how did you come to be doing the work you're doing now with them?
Right. Veterans and military has always been my beat at KOMU. I helped start an Honor Flight hub here in Central Missouri. Honor Flight is an organization you all may be aware of that flies terminally ill and aging veterans to Washington, D.C. to see their memorial. And the Veterans United Network needed a storyteller. They were interested in growing their Google Plus platform. Obviously, those are two things that I'm very passionate about, human media and veterans as well. So I do video stories. I'm essentially a journalist for the Veterans United Network, and I go around and do stories about veterans and military's families and also experiment and use this new realm, this new layer of social media, as human media, to try to bring our customers and future customers into a face-to-face relationship with us, and also use the platform to tell stories and put our veterans and military platform, military families up on a platform on which they deserve to be. So that's essentially how I came here was via a traditional journalist sitting behind a news desk and also reporting as well. My reporting has taken me around the world, but it was a great opportunity to spread my wings and instead of just broadcasting to mid-Missouri, broadcasting everywhere. Veterans United is in 21 states nationwide, and we have the ability to communicate with so many wonderful people who have some truly amazing stories. So I was just tickled to be able to have the opportunity to dabble in two of the things that I really love.
I know that when we had originally scheduled the show, you had the opportunity to go and meet with the wife of a veteran and so on. And I would love if you would even expand on the work that you're doing with Veterans United and with families and so on. You know, could we spend some time on that now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we travel all around doing video stories. One of the projects that we have here is Veterans Virtual Tours, which I referenced just a little bit ago. We are losing those veterans at a rate of 800 a day nationwide. So a lot of these fine men and women, will not have the ability to physically see their memorials. So what we're trying to do is to get these individuals into hangouts so that they are able to virtually experience them. So we have videographers with streaming rigs on the beaches of Normandy, France, at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. I'm going to D.C. on Thursday to do a tour via Google Glass of the World War II Memorial. And then we also have another videographer at the D-Day Memorial as well to provide that tour to the other veterans in the hangout. So they have the ability to see their memorial in real time, to ask questions about it, to come closer to the waves on the beaches of Normandy, France. Unfortunately, here in our nation, we've waited far too long to build our World War II memorial. So now there's a really hurry up and a really huge push in order to get these veterans there, not only physically, but for the ones who aren't physically able to travel, to get them there virtually as well. So that's just a little bit about what we do at Veterans United. We also have the Veterans United Foundation as well, and I tell stories for the Veterans United Foundation, and that is powered by funds from Veterans United employees that donate millions and millions of dollars to deserving veterans and military families. So not only do they provide the funding, but we have the great opportunity of telling some of those amazing stories and how people are using those funds from the Veterans United Foundation.
I've had friends who have had family members who were in the military who speak of how hard it was and has been to get family members to speak of their experiences. Are you finding that as a result of the work you're doing with Veterans United, that the conversations are opening up among family members?
Yes, they really are. And you'll find, especially with the World War II generation, that they didn't talk about it much, if at all. My grandpa was a World War II veteran. And when you asked him what he did in the war, he'd wave his hand and he'd shrug you off and he'd say, I didn't do anything in the war. I played drums in the jazz band. That was all he told me. Well, after his passing, and unfortunately he was one of those individuals who sadly passed away before he was able to see his World War II memorial, looking through his records, he did much more than play in the jazz band. He had several medals, and he had a fine line of service there. But you will not find a World War II veteran who will brag about it or sometimes even share about it. So oftentimes when we are talking to these veterans about their experiences, we may have been one of only a handful of individuals that they have shared that information with. So obviously it's very important to them, very important to us that we take great diligence in properly telling their story and sharing with others what they want them to know. But you are correct in that a lot of times they haven't talked about it, and it is opening up conversations for them, family members really, to hear what went on during that very important period in their lives. And of course, with World War II veterans, you know, the next generation of veterans that we're trying to get to see their memorials are the Korean veterans. they also are passing away at a great rate, and you know, then Vietnam, and then on and on, as well. And my hope is that the individuals in our nation don't wait as long as we waited to build the World War II memorial to build the Iraq and Afghanistan memorials. Hopefully there are individuals who are working on that right now so that those veterans have the ability to physically see it and we're not relying on virtual tours to take them there.
Amazing. Who knew? And who knew that, you know, with the addition of this, what's happening with technology, this opening up for storytelling among families is actually being triggered without people having to spend thousands of dollars, you know, getting an entire family packed up and traveling to a particular destination physically in person. But this technology is
the
conversation opener to happen.
Oh, absolutely. And think of, too, you know, the ability for a family member to bring in a veteran, perhaps he's an assisted living center or nursing home, and other family members that aren't able to travel, and the ability to bring them into that group conversation and visit with that veteran. Our demographic here at the Veterans United Network is highly accustomed to video chat, right? Because veterans are stationed overseas, so they've used Skype or other modes of communication with which to communicate. So Hangouts is just a new layer of that and a new group layer, again, that's attached to a crowdsourcing tool of a social network.
My mind is buzzing on all kinds of different business strategies, from everything from, you know, physicians. There have been plenty of articles over the years of physicians using remote technology to get lab tests communicated, you know, between distances and so on. And now I'm visualizing, and not only could the physician actually be speaking live with the patient, but speaking with the entire family gathered around to discuss a matter and so on. My mind is bubbling at the moment with all the possibilities that are being created.
Yeah.
I want to jump in with a couple questions if I can.
Absolutely.
I know with what you do with veterans, you have a ready-made audience, and you already have, 3 million plus people following you on Google Plus or something like that?
I don't think it's that many. I haven't actually checked, but we do have a large social media audience. But the way that we've built that audience has been through face-to-face communication. And again, I can't impress upon any individuals how important that is to have some FaceTime, essentially, with your viewership. The engagement levels are deeper. You do business with people whom you know, right? With people who, imagine all the people who've been inside your house, okay? And how more likely you are to buy Girl Scout cookies from them or to write a letter of recommendation or something like that. This is opening your virtual door and inviting more individuals into your house to have a closer relationship with you.
Well, I have built my business over the last 7 years through things like webinars, through teleconferences, and Hangouts is something I've just barely started dabbling in. But I can already see the power of it and what it will do to strengthen the relationship even more. For those of our listeners who are just getting started, their challenge is they don't really have a large following yet. What can they do on sites like Google Plus to really start building that following? Hangouts is certainly one of the things they can do.
Right, absolutely. That, and also join something called Google Plus Communities. So it's kind of like Facebook groups, but you have the ability to search for the communities that meet your needs. So I always encourage individuals who get on the platform for the very first time not just to host Hangouts, but join them. So go in all of these individual houses. Hangouts I liken to a virtual front porch. So go up on their virtual front porch and see what they're talking about. Introduce yourselves. Get to know some people. And also join some Google Plus communities. So as soon as you create your Google Plus account, and you do that by going to google.com, and just clicking on the plus you button on that left-hand side and set up your profile, you have the ability to join communities. So say, for instance, you were interested in a veterans issues. I lead a veterans and active duty military community in there where we are always posting information pertinent to veterans and military families. Say you were interested in VA loans and getting a loan if you were a veteran. There's a community for that on Google+. Say you're interested in social media. There's a large community in that on Google+. Join those communities. Ask when their regular hangouts are, and then join them. And that's how you crowdsource an audience. If you are broadcasting, say, about pet supplies, get on Google+, and you have, since Google+ is attached to Google, the search engine, you have the ability to search directly within Google+ for other individuals who's posted about your business interest or posted in a community about something that relates to your business interest. Well, then you have the ability to invite them to a hangout. So that's the crowdsourcing tool explained, essentially. Google+ is Google+ combined with Google, a search engine, with YouTube, which is the world's most powerful broadcast platform. So using Google+ as the left hand and YouTube as the right hand, together you have the ability to form your own broadcast entity and then crowdsource an audience, not just on Google+, but then cross-pollinate it on all of the other platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, wherever. You have the ability to share that broadcast and invite people to watch, to join in the conversation, to follow you. So it's no longer, you know, putting up an ad and just expecting people to come. There's a little bit of skill involved in that. All you have to do really is just search for your audience and invite them then into a conversation with you.
That's awesome.
Very cool. My little brain is ticking away about 6 different strategies that you've named just in the last 10 minutes that I have clients and students who need to know those and be starting to incorporate them into their businesses. So my mind is going tick, 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 tick.
And, you know, you mentioned medical, too. And if I could just mention briefly how some really interesting doctors are pioneering in this space. For instance, using Google Glass and hands-free computing with this glass that you wear on your face. It's a frameless glass. But there is a man who wrote an app that allows a nurse who could wear Google Glass and who could look at your arm and could see your veins.
Oh.
So they would have the ability to know exactly where to stick you for an IV or a shot or anything like that. Doctors who are wearing Google Glass right now doing surgery, and the ability to open a hangout during surgery and privately invite in another doctor to consult about, this is what we're seeing in the kidney. You know, what do you think about that? You know, all of the ways that hands-free technology and hands-free hangouts have the ability to enhance not only business, but the medical world has a real, real interesting pioneering future ahead of it. It'll be interesting to watch what some of these doctors and nurses do with it.
I'll have to ask one of my cousins. He's a cardiologist at Cleveland Clinic, and as most people know, Cleveland Clinic is known for its heart surgeries, and it's one of the top hospitals in the world for anything related to the heart. Well, he's been doing robotic procedures remotely from Cleveland. He does things like put stents in people's hearts who are in South Africa without ever leaving Cleveland Clinic. I wonder how they're going to be using Google Glass to advance that even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not only the group conversation, but it's a hands-free group conversation. So, for instance, on the trail this morning, when I was running on the trail, I'm running on the trail, and I open up a hangout, and I'm having a conversation with an individual from Canada, okay? And I'm able to do that. I'm able to see his face, and he is able to see what I'm seeing, the color of the leaves, our weather, all of that. It was like I took him and transported him right directly in my field of vision, like a Princess Leia on Star Wars, you know, beaming me in or something like that. But he was directly in my field of vision, and I had the ability to have a face-to-face conversation with him while I was having a walk on the morning trail, and it was all hands-free. You know, same with I was doing dishes the other day and chatting with another individual who was in Kansas City, and he was right there in my kitchen chatting with me while I was doing the dishes, but he was just via the video phone via Google Glass. So it will be really be fascinating to watch to see how
is
this
Google
liberates
Glass
us
available
to do more.
Publicly? Is
Google Glass available publicly? Not yet. There are only about 2,000 individuals who have it right now. I'm one of them as part of a Glass Explorers program. So the Glass Explorers program was part of an effort by Google to solicit ideas for individuals who wanted to use this new wearable computing. And they solicited ideas and chose some. And these individuals received Google Glass. They had to pay for them, but then they are using them for medicine. I'm obviously using them for veterans and military family stories and to provide them virtual tours. And if you search the hashtag Glass Explorers within Google Plus, or if you just Google Glass Explorers, you'll find more information about the program. They have not been released yet to the public. You cannot buy Google Glass online, but you will be able to in the future. And that's how Google is testing some of it, is via giving it to developers, giving it to other individuals who have ideas with how to use it, who can then provide Google with feedback on how to make it better.
I definitely have to look into that, what it could do with business owners. Holy cow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a face-to-face virtual storefront is really what I could see it creating.
I've got a client that I've been working with, as Gina knows, she actually created the exercise boot camp many years ago, and she now, her plan for her next 5 years is to be traveling all around the world, and we were literally strategizing how she can be in remote locations and at the same time be taking people through their daily exercises but transporting them to remote locations. And I like this even better than just holding up or propping up your cell phone with the camera aimed at you, you know, to literally have Google Glass on and be not only showing people the exercise, but then turning it around and giving them this vista of sharing where you are somewhere in the world in the shared activity. So quite
absolutely
amazing.
Human,
you know,
I
just briefly want to double check time with you, Sarah, because since we got a late start, I want to check if you're available to stay with us an extra 15 minutes. Will that work for you?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So there was
individuals who use Hangouts for exercise. So they will open a Hangout and invite people in virtually in order to experience that exercise session. That's totally doable. Geography knows no bounds anymore. You can be in Florida and invite individuals from around the world into a virtual space to have an interaction. I think that's really exciting because it just blows, you know, our walled gardens and our former ways of thinking of this is our viewing area. Well, you know, the world now has the
right
ability
and
to be in your
you
house.
You can be doing the public hangout with everybody watching live streaming as you're doing a training and then turn it into a private hangout to work personally on someone with something in a private hangout. So all
absolutely.
The
it goes all different ways.
Very cool.
Well, I've studied Apple for many years since the iPhone came out, really. It's one of the most brilliant examples of building a business around really serving people in a way that really makes you money and does more good all at the same time. And the idea of the Apple stores with the Genius bars and whatnot would be so much easier to duplicate in a small business, especially a brick-and-mortar business, with something like Google Glass and Hangouts combined. Imagine what you can really do to really serve your audience at a whole different level with the combination of the two.
Yes, absolutely. Customer service, face-to-face customer service. Customer service agents are individuals, obviously, who deal with a lot of hostility in any way. And if there are are studies out there that show that hostilities melt away when you're communicating with people face-to-face, why not increase the likelihood that your online interactions are going to be positive ones? So for customer service, the future of human media is very bright.
And how does social media play into customer service in our new virtual world? What do you recommend that companies do to make use of it?
I recommend that they have a presence in the social spaces so that they have the ability to be where the conversations are happening. The conversations might be about their product or their brand. Those conversations might not be. But you have an ongoing dialogue, an ongoing communication line with your customers so that when you need them, they have the ability to come into conversation with you and vice versa. So you want to be in all of the places where those conversations are happening. And specifically with Google Plus, and since it's embedded so deeply with a search component, customers and businesses have the ability to crowdsource customers. You have the ability to search for individuals who are seeking information about your product. And you have the ability to do that on a worldwide platform now, whereas formerly it might have been the Yellow Pages and businesses, the onus was on the businesses to say, okay, customers, here's my line. Now you call me, right? You seek me out. Well, now that's been totally flipped on its head since search is now attached to social networks and also video chat, that businesses now have the ability to go out and find those customers via social platforms by searching for them on social networks.
Sarah, you know what's so fascinating is about 5 years ago, as social media was coming to the forefront, when I'd be having conversations with business owners, their protest was, who's got time to spend time there in social media? And what's changing, not only in people getting used to these platforms, but also in thinking about this notion of integrating the hangout side of real human communication, not just dashed off 140-character blurts at each other. But what it speaks to from a strategic view for businesses is so much of a business's strategy is, quote, how do I find new customers or get them to find me? That's one part of the conversation. And a separate conversation is, how do I create sustained relationships with my ideal customers? And what this technology, all of it, all these platforms actually enables is to build a deeper relationship with your ideal customers so the relationships last longer and there's less concern about how am I using all these platforms to try and find new people. It's rather
absolutely
how am I present so they can find me and how am I building relationships so it's a longer, deeper, broader relationship.
Right, and you're not just growing that customer base horizontally, but you're also growing it deeply as well. And I call human media the roots are essentially of social media because it's face-to-face, it's deep. But also one note about search engine optimization and growing those customers. If you are not on social media, and obviously, you know, there are, especially for small business owners, there aren't enough hours in a day, and there are really some businesses out there who don't have any time to invest in social media. But here's why you do want to invest in it, and especially Google Plus, is because every time you post on Google Plus, to explain it in SEO terms, it creates Google juice, if you will. So every time you post on Google Plus, your posts are then indexed, which then can then show up in a Google search. And Google Plus posts are indexed more quickly, we are told, than Facebook or Twitter. I don't have confirmation from that from anyone official other than if you post on Google Plus and then do a Google search and post on Facebook and Twitter and then do a Google search, that Google Plus post will pop up more quickly than a Facebook and Twitter post will. So it really behooves business owners to use that network of Google Plus because it has the potential of increasing your rankings in search. And obviously businesses want to be found. And if you're not in the social landscape, essentially it's like having an unlisted phone number, right? Because where are individuals going in order to find your business? They're not going to the yellow pages anymore. They're going to search and searching for you. So the more times that you post on Google Plus and get your business's name out there and share your posts with hashtags that are relevant to your product or your brand, the more likelihood that your customers can find you.
My good friend Simon Mainwaring, the number one best-selling author of the book called We First, which is all about social branding, using social media to tell the story of the good your brand is doing in the world. He just wrote an article in the last couple of days that's on Forbes. It's all about how for any business, small business, big corporate people, doesn't really matter. The key to really getting a solid social media presence is bringing your employees into your social media endeavors and actually creating a policy and training your employees on how to be a part of what you're doing with social media. Had a great 10-step process of how to get your employees involved so it isn't as time-consuming for the business owner.
Absolutely. It's always great to have a plurality of voices when it comes to social media. There are some businesses who have policies against employees using social media in their business, but more and more businesses are warming to the fact that using their employees' personal social media platform has great advantages of directing more eyeballs to your brand.
Mm-hmm. And Simon works with some really big brands, Nike, Coca-Cola, even nonprofits like the Martin Luther King Foundation and Livestrong. And he's really working with these organizations to help them build the policies and train their employees on how to do things on social media that really benefit the brand rather than potentially hurt the brand. It's a great,
right,
great way of really getting the message out there.
And some of that training in the future will also need to be human media techniques, teaching these individuals how to dial the video phone so that they have the ability,
yes,
not just to respond to their customers' text base, but they have the ability to respond to them in person.
Do you know Simon?
We have not met.
I've got to introduce the two of you because he's got a conference coming up in September, and many of the big companies that he works with, like Coca-Cola, are going to be there. We have got to get you on that stage to talk about the importance of human media.
I think she's going to be amazing there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, well, thanks for that. Appreciate the connection. It will be very exciting to see what kind of relationships we can develop in the future with veterans and military families when it comes to human media. It's a really, we're just scratching the surface. We're just getting the workflow down.
Well, and so big for those who really are disabled, too, because it really opens the doors for them to actually get jobs working from home, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, there's a great organization on Google Plus that is using blind World War II veterans, okay? These are sight-impaired World War II veterans. They are in Hangouts, and they're using these blind World War II veterans to be relay operators for hearing-impaired adults.
Wow.
So can you imagine?
Oh,
I know. It is phenomenal. I was in a Hangout with them the other day just seeing in some of their training, and one of these guys is a former radio operator from World War II. His name is Emery Feinfrock. And so this is all – he's used to this space because he was a former radio operator, and he says, even though I'm not able to see using screen readers and things like that, he is able to join a Hangout and then complete relay calls for these individuals. So really not only is a physical disability, a barrier to employment, but it has the ability not to be a barrier to employment with technology when you can transport an individual from around the world. So it's really fascinating to see what this group is doing, and these blind veterans, the relay calls that they are making for these hearing impaired adults. It's heartwarming.
One of the things I've been...
I can do anything to help you with your work with the veterans, please just reach out. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can. That's the kind of thing I'm really passionate about.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, and I would encourage people to reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Google+. Just search Sarah Hill, google.com/+Sarah Hill. If you're interested in looking at our stories that we've done about veterans and military families, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's the easiest way to see that, and that's youtube.com/VeteransUnited, youtube.com/VeteransUnited.
You know, Sarah, the past couple years I've been following with passion this issue of how we take highly trained service personnel who have spent the last 3, 5, 10, 15 years of their lives in the military, who are now coming out and trying to find their place outside the military for employment, whether it's entrepreneurial, whether it's starting businesses, and so on. And I can see this technology helping on so many fronts, from the, using it as part of their platform for doing their work, for connecting with others and creating virtual businesses, and so on. If there are people who are coming up with ideas for how businesses could be crafted and really want to support taking it into the military and former military, the veteran world, what are the pathways for them to take their ideas to help get these highly trained, highly skilled, amazing people, you know, operating outside the military in business?
Mm-hmm. I wish I had a good answer for that. I don't have a good answer on how we get more of our veterans to work, but we here at Veterans United are obviously very passionate about that and very eager to hire veterans. We are using human media to hire veterans. We have virtual career fairs. So, for instance, instead of going out and setting up a table in some state and letting individuals know, hey, we're hiring veterans, we are opening a hangout here in Columbia, Missouri with Veterans United and inviting veterans and other individuals who are interested in being employed with us to come in and have a face-to-face conversation and learn more about Veterans United and what we do. So we are using this space of human media in order to hire veterans. Our last hangout that we did, we actually hired 2 veterans, and one veteran was a disabled veteran for some part-time work, video editing here at the Veterans United Network. So you have the potential to use Hangouts and human media in order to bring veterans into a face-to-face conversation. And there's also a group called BetNet. I would encourage anyone on Google+ to circle BetNet. It's a program out of Google, and they host resume writing sessions. They host sessions on how veterans can transition from the military into civilian jobs. They bring in employers to talk about their company that are hiring veterans. And essentially, it's an online skills workshop that's conducted face-to-face. And there are veterans there who've gleaned great information from organizations like We Hire Heroes, and who've been able to use that information to either launch their own startups. There's a veteran, Larry Huff, who has an organization called VetOut, and they are teaching individuals math and helping individuals pass their math placement exams. That's a startup that he's launched via the services of VetNet. So if you're on Google+, or even if you're not, if you just Google VetOut or VetNet, VetNet, and the Career Connections track, you have the ability to be connected to some phenomenal resources when it comes to providing veterans with the skills they need to transition from the military to the civilian world.
Amazing. And you know, Gina, as I'm listening to this, I think that the virtual trade show mechanism that you and I have been looking at these past couple of weeks, there's probably an amazing synergy there for what, you know, for Veterans United to use as an access pathway for people and the people who want to
play. I would think so.
Yeah.
If you want to check out
now,
this
you say
technology, it's at worldchiroconference.com/expo. worldchiroconference.com/expo. There's a startup out of San Francisco that has created a new technology that allows you to build a virtual trade show with exhibit booths, auditorium, the whole nine yards, in
wow.
a way that you can literally walk through the exhibit hall, participate in things like the exhibitors can hand out brochures and MP3s that are really PDFs and DVD jewel case with an MP3 in it kind of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And the exhibitors can actually interact with the people in the exhibit hall. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. I have totally writing this down. That raises the hackles on the back of my neck. That is
really
fascinating.
Yep, I'm visualizing all the people who have, let's just say one of the trade show halls is all tutorials on different subjects, and that people go find what it is they want to be tutored in, and that's the connection, the starting point for the connection. Oh,
yeah. And so it's called World. Give the website again.
If you go to World.
WorldCairoConference.com/expo. WorldCairoConference.com/expo.
And Cairo is spelled
C-H-I-R-O. C-H-I-R-O. Yep.
Okay.
It's a World Chiropractic Conference to help chiropractors learn how to use the Internet to boost their practice and get new patients. And part of it is an ongoing exhibit hall that will be open every month for the next 12 months. It is really amazing. I'd be happy to introduce you to these people that have the software in beta out of San Francisco.
Yeah, I would love to touch base with them. That sounds really, really
exciting. They really want to talk with people that want to use their software for doing good in the world. With Veterans United, it is a perfect fit for why they built it in the first place.
Excellent. Love to talk with them.
I will definitely get you an intro because they're only doing things by introduction right now. It's not just something you can go buy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Great stuff. And you're right, Linda. Really good fit with what she's doing with veterans.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, clearly we have another hour's worth of conversation in us.
We do, but it's been so great chatting with you. I so appreciate you giving us a platform, and I would encourage any individuals out there who know of a veteran who isn't able to travel to contact me so that we are able to get them on a virtual tour. My email address is sarah.hill@v.united.com.
Oh, that's so awesome, Sarah. And Linda, why don't you tell everybody how to find Sarah's websites again, other than looking at the show notes?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to let Sarah say them again.
Sure. Yeah, you can find us, the Veterans United Network is veteransunited.com/network. That's where you can find our stories. Our video stories are at youtube.com/veteransunited. You can connect with me on Google+, google.com/+SarahHill. On Twitter, I'm at SarahMidMo, M-I-D-M-O. And my email address is sarah@hill.vu.com.
That's awesome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here. I will get you connected to Simon Mainwaring and the exhibit people. And again, if there's anything I can do to help you and the veterans, just let me know.
Well, much appreciated. It's been phenomenal meeting you. And I look forward to our next hangout when we can have a face-to-face human media experience, because you guys are great on the phone, and I know that you would be even better in person.
That would be awesome. And Linda and I will be back at noon Eastern next Tuesday here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.